Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk. I'm your host, Gail Delicious Johnson, and I hope you guys have been enjoying this beautiful weather that we've been having in the nation's capital. I don't know where you're at, but it's just been beautiful, gorgeous days. My friend in Colorado called and said that they have 4 to 5 inches of snow out there. I don't want to see any more snow until next year. Okay, if this is your first time tuning in, here's a little bit about me. I'm a poet and author of 2 published books. My first book was Past Is Not Forgotten, and You Might Get Lucky is my second book. My third book, a book of delicious erotic short stories, debuts before the summer's end. The sequel was Past Is Not Forgotten, The Reunion, debuts in early 2011. You can order your autographed copies from my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. I'm also a co-host along with Marion Mimi Jacobs Saturdays at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/chocolate. That's spelled C-H-A-K-L-E-T dash coffee dash books. And by the way, tomorrow's theme is going to be Marion's 50th birthday, so come on out and party with us. We're going to have a great time. Stop by and wish her, you know, well wishes on her birthday. You can recite a poem or, you know, just mingle with us and have a good time. That's tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Okay, on Sundays, I co-host along with Lamont Carey at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/Lamont Carey. Be sure to tune in. With that being said, I'll be right back after this little break.
Love letters straight from your heart. Keep us so near while apart. I'm not alone in the night. when I can have all the love you are. I memorize every line. And I kiss the name that you sign. And darling, then I read again right from the start. Love letters straight from your heart. I memorize every line. And I kiss the name that you sign. And darling, then I read again right from the start. Love letters straight from your.
Sorry, I had my mute button on. That's Love Letters Straight from Your Heart, and that comes from tonight's theme, which is prison letters. If you're just tuning in, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. If you have any questions or comments, please call in and push 1 to raise your hand so that I know you have something to say. Okay, now, you guys know that I like watching different things on television, especially talk shows, documentaries. I enjoy TLC, True TV, Animal Planet, Wendy Williams, Oprah, NGO, which is National Geographic, and ID, which is Investigation Discovery. That's where I got the theme from my show, because every Wednesday they broadcast a show called Prison Wise, which I've been watching. Shortly, I'll share with you a few collected letters of prisoners, and I will point out the red flags of why they write and how they try to con you. But first, I want to share what I watched about the prison wise. This lady was first a pen pal, then she married this prisoner who had 8 years sentence, and he was down to the last 3 years when they married. She waited for him to be released. Instead of him rushing home to be with the woman he befriended, loved him, married him, and supported him, he goes and spends a couple of days with his best friend and his best friend's girlfriend. They bought him clothes, took him out, they entertained him. And mind you, he didn't call his wife once. So after all the anxiety and anticipation the wife could handle, she called his best friend. Now, they show how, you know, how she was feeling after she spoke to him. You know, she was all happy and glee and, you know, smiling. But when they showed him, he didn't really seem like he was, you know, that enthused, you know, talking to his wife. So when she hung the phone up, she started crying because she started having self-esteem issues, you know, thinking about what if he didn't like her body or if he didn't like her new hairdo and a host of other insecurities, you know, she was expressing. So when they did hook up in a motel, this is before they got, you know, to her home, the lovemaking wasn't what they both expected, but they vowed to work it out. When they finally got to their home, he said it would take a while for him to get used to being free. The wife seems more appreciative of the jailhouse marriage, and I don't, you know, I don't condone people for what they do, because if that's what she wanted to do, that's what she wanted to do. I was in a relationship with a guy who was locked up as well, and you know, I learned things along the way, because one thing about a person who is locked up, they have nothing but time. They have time to sit around and scam, scheme, or, you know, just to do whatever they want to do, plot, you know, try to break out of jail or, you know, whatever it is they do, you know, to pass the time. And I was incarcerated once myself. And I also learned that when you are in jail, it's best that You don't serve time. Let time serve you. Whatever you can get into, whatever you can do to, you know, better yourself, or to, when you come out, have plans, you know, to do something other than what you did to put you in that situation in the first place. Now, I know of a couple of stories that, like I said, I watch television, you know, mostly documentaries and things like that, and they had a special on about, you know, what prisoners do once they get out of jail. And they had another guy who had married a girl who, you know, had went to see him in jail, and they got married. And, you know, they professed that they loved them and, you know, they're going to spend the rest of their life with them, this, that. But for some reason, it goes south when they come out. Now, this guy, when he got out, he, I don't know what his profession was before he got in there, but it appeared that he was really, I would say, I don't know if he was a pimp or what, but when he got out, he began to, you know, pick up those old habits. He bought some, you know, these spliffy outfits and, you know, was hanging out. And then he told his wife that he didn't want to be married anymore because he felt that it was things that he wanted to do and he didn't want to be tied down. But see, they forget that when he was in jail and she was, you know, accepting his collect calls, visiting him, sending him money, writing him, and basically she was a prisoner herself, because when you're involved with somebody in jail and you're being true to them, you might as well be locked up as well. So when he ditched her, you know, it was very heartbreaking and traumatic for her. Now, when I had gotten locked up, I was in a relationship, and I had just told my friend, because he wasn't being supportive at all once I got locked up, so I just said, well, you know what, we just need to break up, which we did. Well, we got back together once I got out, but, you know, I wasn't going to hold him hostage while I'm locked up, and what he did while I was locked up, I never asked, didn't want to know, didn't care, because, number one, we weren't together. Now, different things happen to men when they're locked up. If a man is in jail and he's doing a long stretch, because another person that I knew who had gotten locked up, he was locked up for 19 years. And, of course, things change on the outside. When you're locked up, everything is centered around your being in prison. You don't know what's going on the outside. You don't know the changes like when this guy had gotten locked up, he's been dead now for 15 years, but no, 16 years. But when he had gotten locked up, what he was locked up for, he had committed a robbery. And during that particular time, you know, people, you can go into a store and they didn't have the shields up and they didn't have guns and, you know, they weren't that well protected. Even if they had a security guard in there, the best thing the security guard had was a baton or a stick. But when he got out, you know, technology had changed, different things had changed, and he had gotten into a relationship with this girl. And he couldn't find a job, and she was pressing him and pressing him and pressing him to, you know, get a job. So he got a job, and she still, you know, wasn't satisfied because it was a minimal job, you know. And so he goes and get a gun. He goes and try to hold up, I think it was a liquor store or something, but lo and behold, by him being locked up for all those years, he didn't understand that things had changed, that people were protecting themselves. Everybody basically had guns in their businesses. So he goes into the establishment, pulls a gun on the person that was up front, and the person came from the back, shot him in the face, and killed him. You know, so a lot of times these guys, and I'm not saying all these guys, but some of those guys, they get out and they can't adjust to being back into society. They can't adjust to the rules and the regulation and things that change since they have been gone, because their mindset is still where it was when they got locked up. If you got locked up when you was 19 and you did 20 years, when you came out, your mind is still set at 19 because you all you know is that prison life. You know somebody telling you to get up, go to bed, do this, do that. That's all you know. So when you get out, you see cell phones, you see the flat screen televisions, all this different technology, HD, digital cameras and things like that. That's amazing to somebody who's been locked up for years and years and years. Another instance was a young guy who lived here named Terrence Johnson. He was 14 or 15 when he got locked up. Now, he was locked up, I think, something like 15 years, but he did a good thing while he was in there because he was going to school to be a lawyer and, you know, had really changed his life as far as what was going on the inside. Now, what he had went to jail for was him and his brother was out one night, and they were, his brother was robbing a laundromat or something, and the police was going to let Terrence go, but somehow or another they got into an argument, so they locked him up, and he ended up killing two of the policemen in the interrogation room. And these two policemen were prominent families. This is basically why he got the time that he got. But the NAACP and different people were rallying around him trying to get him out. So he finally got out of jail. And, you know, things were looking good because he was going to, I think it was UDC or either Howard University, I don't know, but he was going to get a law degree. Lo and behold, I don't think Terrence was out a year. I really don't know how long he was out, but the next thing was on the news that him and his brother had tried to rob a bank, and Terrence killed himself because he probably killed himself because he didn't want to go back to jail or because he felt this was crazy. But see, he still had the mindset of a 15-year-old because if he was living on the street and knowing all these different things, how things change and stuff like that, he would not even have let his brother talk him into doing something like that. You see, so people who go to prison, they either come out and they change or they come out and they do the same thing. I had another person who was locked up. He was locked up all his life. From the time I think he was 16, he went into the system. And he eventually died from AIDS back in 1900-something, 19-whatever. But he had been in and out. He even said that he preferred being locked up because he could not adjust. He just could not adjust to being out on the street having his freedom. So, it's just so many things that goes on in a man's mind when he's locked up. I know it's not a nice thing being locked up. I was only locked up for, I think it was 4 months. And I think it's different with women when women are locked up because women, you basically don't have to worry about somebody shanking you or somebody trying to rape you or, you know, having these gangs and stuff up, you know, different things like that. But I really wish that women would think twice before, you know, you start a prison relationship because I can speak on it. Like I said, I was in one, and this was before I had even gotten locked up. I was in a prison relationship, and it didn't work because the guy, you know, basically they sit around and they scam and they scheme, and then some of them, they send you these, excuse me, I'm sorry, they send you these sincere, quote-unquote, love letters, I love you, I miss you, I want you, this and that, You know, that's basically like reeling you in to, you know, get into your emotions, get into your head, to get into your feelings so they can eventually send a letter like, well, I need this, I need that, you know, I want you to do this. And you find yourself doing these things simply because this man is telling you that he has feelings for you and you're actually believing it. So, excuse me, I had to wet my whistle. So, you know, I'm just, you know, wish that it was some way I could reach out to these sisters that are getting involved with men who are locked up. Not to say that some of the relationships may work out, but the majority of them don't. They really don't. And I had a girlfriend, she had a guy who was locked up, and I had went with her one time to Lorton. This is before they had torn Lorton down. And they, you know, had even had it arranged so the guards would turn their backs so they can go into a room and have sex. And, you know, that's how some of the prisons I ran. I went to see a guy who was in a prison in New Jersey, Rahway. And I'm telling you, I could not believe the things that they were doing on the yard. They had a video set up, but they were actually having oral sex. They were actually having intercourse. And, I mean, this was out in the open. And the guards were basically, they knew what was going on, but they just turned a blind eye to it, you know. So, you know, just like being on the streets, you can get whatever you want in jail. You can get drugs, you can get sex, you can get money, you know, but you can get everything except for your freedom. Okay, if I have someone on the line, I'm going to bring them in. I think this is my friend in Colorado. Good evening.
Hey, Delicious, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Veggie, and yourself? Yeah.
Oh, snow, not
I
snow.
I told everybody that you had 5 to 6 inches of snow out there?
Well, we got 7 now.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's not bad. You know, that's nothing to us.
Right. Well, I know. I know, because one day it's sunny and bright. The next day it's snow.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I just want to talk about the topic tonight, letters from prison. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm sort of different. And when you talk about people writing letters, you never think of friends, male friends, keeping in touch with male inmates, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Right.
But my experience has been, you know, when you talk about women do the time while the man doing the time, well, my experience with two of my best friends, Andre and Harry, one did 17 years and one did 10 years. And the support I gave them and support they needed, you know, was collect calls, you know, money on the books and, you know, send a lot of money orders and this kind of thing. Boy, thinking of all those money orders and collect calls. But it was important as a friend.
Right.
As a male friend, you know. So it wasn't no scheming and scamming. You know, these were people I've known from elementary school and But you're right, even though, you know, males do time when they keep in touch with other inmates, you know, they be doing that time too. So, and then speaking of, and that was pretty hard, you know, I mean, you know, hearing the stories about the prison, that daily going about and all, you kind of live that too during the day in your life. But also, that we got a good friend, Bay, used to live in the circle.
Right.
Now, he have, right now, have 24 years, and I got a word from Sam that he wanted me to get in touch with him because he's out in Arizona. He think, you know, that's around the corner from Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But I choose not to call him because once you start, you know, you almost can't stop, you know.
Right.
So
isn't Bay a repeat offender? Because he's been in and out of jail a lot as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, but this time he got 24. And,
wow.
You know, I mean, by the time he get out, he'll be an old man.
Wow.
But you sort of choose the who you want to keep in touch with, and because some people you don't know as well, and they do do the scheming and the scamming and want you
right.
to do things and, you know, so.
Those are basically people, like I said, if you, because if you, say like when you, okay, for I'll speak for myself, when I went to Lorton to, with my girlfriend to visit her baby daddy, it was a guy down there. He's telling me, this guy want to talk to you. I said, well, I really don't want to, you know, talk to him. You know, because number one, at that particular time, I really wasn't into the prisons like that. You see what I'm saying? So how I got involved with the guy that was in prison, this was a different prison, I had went to see another friend of mine, and he had asked me, you know, would I meet a friend of his. I said, okay, no problem. So I met him, and, you know, we started corresponding and this and that, and, you know, then, you know, getting the letters, accepting the collect calls, and, you know, all this stuff. So eventually it just got on my nerve, because when he started saying things like, I'm going up for such and such, and I need to get a haircut, and I don't have any money, but, well, you know what? If you don't have any money, don't start asking me for any money.
Right.
Because, number one, that leaves, if I give him money for that, then they'll turn around and ask me for money for something else and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So
and I noticed.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No, go on.
Go ahead. I was going to say, and I noticed the difference of just things that you pick up, you know, from corresponding with these folks. I noticed the difference between her and Andre. Andre is a little more educated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote his own letters.
Right.
But when Harry would write, he would have someone write the letters. And, you know, it's just because he was so embarrassed to write. He used to write when he was in the juvenile system.
Mm-hmm.
But once he got in the adult system, you know, he felt bad because his grammar wasn't even halfway there, you know.
Right. And
so
that's
I noticed they get other people to write for him. For
right.
Him
they
feet.
Do. They do. They get them, you know, because I was I got what it was, because I've been in like, well, two, whatever, and I was reading some of the letters, and I'm just saying, I can't believe this guy wrote this, because it's just, it's too, you know, it's just, I just couldn't believe he wrote them.
It
I really couldn't.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, they do that, too. They get guys to write their letters for them, and at one point, well, like the guy that I was, you know, seeing, and when I had stopped corresponding with him, you know what he did? They do all kind of things. He put my phone number and my name on this wall because I started getting calls from this other prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how did you get my phone number? You know, so he said, well, it was on the wall. I said, on the wall? I said, what are you talking about? So then he told me that the guy that that I was seeing had put my phone number on this wall. I guess they put people's phone numbers on the wall or whatever. And, you know, I just started calling. I said, well, you do me a favor. I said, you take my number off that wall. I said, and please don't call me again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do all kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
that's just plotting and planning and scheming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I just wanted to bring that different point of view.
Right, right. There is a difference. Now, if you have, like, a friend, a dear friend or somebody like that who goes to jail, of course, you're going to look out for them because, you know this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, keeping up with them, you know, staying in touch with them and, you know, looking out for them is going to keep their spirits up and give
mm-hmm.
them, you know, a little bit of hope. Because when you're locked up and you don't have nobody coming to see you, you don't have nobody writing, you don't have nobody giving you money for your on the books and stuff like that, that is the worst feeling that you could ever, ever go through.
And especially these two, because they, you know, were in so long, 10 years and 17 years, you know, people start out keeping in touch, and after a while, you know, they say,
right.
After that third or fourth year, they drop off, you know.
Yeah.
So their contact becomes real thin, so they really do need someone. But, you know, another point that I want to make, when you tend to think about letters from prisons, you always tend it's between male and female. And I just, you know, wanted to say, you know, they do have some buddies out there to keep in touch.
Oh, right, no doubt. No doubt.
But I'm just saying we always tend to think male, female. We never think of it could be any other way, you know. But anyway, that's
well, yeah, but you know, the topic of the show is about the male, the female,
right,
and something
right.
My brother had told me because when he was when he had been incarcerated, and a friend of his wanted to talk to me, and he told me, he said, "Don't talk to nobody in jail," he said, "because they don't want anything but for you to put money on their books and just to lie to you."
Yeah, he's right. In fact, I
right.
got some letters from him.
Yeah, I know. And if your own brother would tell you that, then you need to take heed, you know.
Right.
And he knows because he's in there. He sees these things and listen to the guys when they sit around. Yeah, man, because, you know, I'm a call so-and-so and get her to, you know, put some money on my books. And, you know, I ain't think about that broad like that because I got another broad over here, you know. That's how they carry it.
And that's how your name got passed around.
Yeah, gonna put my name on the wall.
Right.
I said no,
that means you know you interested in communicating with them, or you have in the past. So you know they'll.
No, this was a guy that I told you he wanted. Well, we was talking about being in a relationship, and then after
right.
I, you know, broke it off with him,
right.
you know, told
right.
him he's gonna put my name on the
right.
wall.
Right, he didn't need it anymore. He was just passing it on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, you know, women need to be aware of that because when they finish using you up, they'll pass you on. Or if they can't use you, they'll just pass you on. That just goes to show just how much they was caring about you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't see those things because some women get involved with these jailhouse relationships simply because they have low self-esteem or... you know, for various reasons. And I think the time when I had gotten involved was because I was thinking, okay, he's locked up, so that means he'll be all mine. Not true.
Right.
Not true. Because those guys get in there and they be tough and all this and that, but you don't know what they're doing in there. They could have a wife in there.
Mm-hmm. Or be a wife. Be
Bubba's
wife, huh?
That is true. That is true. So you have to be extra careful. And then they, you know, and they don't have any type of protection for them when they're having sex with those men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think if that's the case, you know, because they already know that there's some men in there that are having, you know, sex with those men, they should give them condoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that. I know. Right. It's against the rules, first of all, for them to, you know, even have
right.
sex. But
right.
just the point of,
right.
you know, if they're having it in there and they have a wife or somebody on the outside and they contract right. AIDS or whatever, they come home and they all straightened up and stuff. And, you know, give it to their wife or their girlfriend. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of bad. You know, I know
mm-hmm.
it's not permitted for, you know, for them to have
mm-hmm.
sex in jail. But what can
well,
you
that's
do?
Well, same argument, you know, about giving condoms to high school kids or giving needles to addicts, you know,
mm-hmm.
their actions are illegal or immoral. And
but they do. They do pass out needles to addicts. They give
right,
them.
I'm saying they do now. But, I mean, when they started out, people was really against it because, you know, their action was illegal. Why would you do that? But now they do that.
Wow. Well, I don't know, but I just can't. I'm through with. I've been through with the prison relationships because.
Well,
they
I
don't...
think I put my time into so.
You know, because don't
no
you feel you? It makes you. It drains you. Number one, because you almost feel as though you're locked up
mm-hmm.
with this person. You know,
mm-hmm.
because you. I'm gonna call you at a certain time, so be home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send you a letter, send me stamps, do this, do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't
mm-hmm.
do that.
And I got so that, you know, after all them years, I pretty much knew their routine from the time they woke up to the time they went to bed. I knew exactly what they was doing.
That's true. It gets to that point.
And I'm out in the street. You know?
Right, right. It gets to that point because if they call and they talk, you go, man, this morning we did this, we did that. And it's basically a routine. It's basically a routine. You get up, have breakfast, get on your work around the prison and watch TV, listen to music, and, you know, it's just a routine, and it gets crazy. You know, it really gets crazy. So I can't, I'm not condoning anybody for what they want to do. If that's what they want to do, that's on them. But I would never, ever again get into a prison relationship. Would that
well, like
be a,
I say,
huh?
I wouldn't, not saying I would never again, you know, keep in touch. But
right, right.
Like
but,
I said, I done my time, so I ain't going out looking, you know.
Right,
I
right. I can understand.
No phone calls.
Right, I can understand a friend, you know, like a good friend, you know, somebody you grew up with or somebody you know. That's okay, but I'm just speaking of the point of female to male,
right.
You know, being involved with somebody that's locked up. And you don't know what their intentions are when they get out. They can tell you, well, yeah, I'm going to get a house for you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The first thing a man does when he gets out, he wants his freedom.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to be tied down. And marriage is an institution.
Mm-hmm.
So you marry somebody while you was in jail, expect when you get out to be locked right back up.
Well, I watched that show you mentioned, Prison Wives, and I'm amazed that, you know, the folks, especially the pilot who left his family for the woman that's doing life, you know, airplane pilot, yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, well, let me go. I'm hogging up the phone.
Okay,
so,
well, you're going to listen in, or?
Yeah, I'll finish listening in, but I'll click off, and I'll call back.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Reg.
Uh-huh.
I wanna know.
Melvin Moore, Lean On Me, and the first piece was Keisha Cole, I Remember. If you're just tuning in, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. It's a nice topic. It's prison letters. Okay, As I promised, I have a collection of letters here that I'm going to read one, and I'm going to dissect it once I read it. Okay, baby, there is no excuse for me not writing you sooner, so I won't make up any excuse. I will say that I will do my best to keep communication open between us. I'm very fond of you. I really don't want to do or say anything wrong to destroy what we have. I miss talking to you and being with you, and there is a lot of things that I want to do and share with you, but we cannot do them while I'm here. I really need to be alone with you so that we could get into each other. Like I mentioned to you, it has been many years, and I'm not good at a lot of things. Plus, I did not want to scare you away. You're special to me, and I want you to be in my life, but I can't do much right now. It is somewhat hard being romantic in this place. Anyway, I just want you to know that my love for you grows stronger each day, even though I don't show much. Now, just give me some time, and you will see that I will be a good man for you. As for the sex in this place, the baby situation and the pictures I asked you for, well, even though I'm not happy about any of the three, I will have to accept it. I only asked because I thought you wanted to keep me happy, like I want to do for you. I'm not asking you for much, just enough to keep me happy until you become my wife and we are together. Anyway, I hope that you are feeling better after your hospital visit. Right now it's hot and I need a fan. I'm also pushing for the camp on the street so we could really be together, but I must pay my stupid fine, $200, before they do anything for me. My 900 numbers are not bringing in any money, and by now I thought they would. I don't want to ask you because you may get upset with me, so I won't ask, and I will just have to work the fine off somewhere when they give me a job. Anyway, enclosed are the pictures. I still am missing the first two we took in the yard, but don't worry, I will find them. I ordered 6 for family day, so put on a sexy dress and heels for your man, okay? Take care and hope to see you soon. P.S. Called you Thursday, by the way. I did not show Mike the pictures up, so please send them back. I will send them back to you or get copies made. Okay, this letter, excuse me, was a letter I had gotten from a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine. And what he said about he needs a fan and he needs to pay his fine and this and that, what he's really saying is, okay, because if he said I need to pay my stupid fine, $200, he put that $200 down there to give her something to think about. Oh, well, let me think. Maybe I can get him up a little bit of that. Not, if he needs a fan, he should have stayed home so he could get a fan, air conditioner, whatever else he wanted instead of being locked up. They get locked up and they think they everything that they need and everything that they want. And also, when he was talking about the pictures and this and that, you know, it's just all this stuff about I love you, we could be this, we could be that. That's just a con. Because I don't know, I just feel that men who are locked up, like I had mentioned before, they have a lot of time to scam and scheme and plot and plan. So when he wrote this letter to her, it was basically he's grooming her, is what I think. And then he's talking about he's pushing for the camp on the street so we could really be together. Okay. But I'm through with it. And I've been through with it because I learned my lessons from, you know, the guy that I was in a relationship with. Well, I really didn't call it a relationship because in a relationship with somebody, I think it has to be physical. I mean, I like a physical relationship. And when someone's locked up, you can't get physical with them. So that's how I define a relationship. When you're in a relationship with someone, you have to be some type of physicalness going on about it. And when someone's locked up, especially if you're seeing them there behind a glass, you can't touch them, you can't hug them, you can't kiss them. In some of the prisons, they let you hug and, you know, kiss in the beginning and stuff like that. But, you know, that's basically a tease. But anyway, hopefully, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone who's locked up, I do wish you the best. because, you know, like I said, I don't, just for myself, I can't speak for everybody else because I don't know what everybody else's circumstances are, but one thing for certain, two things are for sure. Be very careful of being in a relationship with someone that you met, especially if it's someone you met when you went to see somebody else who was locked up, because they're basically doing this buddy system thing. You got somebody, I want somebody. So, you know, be very careful. And it's getting close to the end of the show. And I'd like to, you know, thank everybody who came out. And I appreciate you, Reggie. Let's see, he's on the line again. Reggie?
Yes.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Listen, I just wanted to say you forgot to mention when he talked about the high heels and the dress.
Oh, yeah.
And family day. That means sex day.
Right.
I went to a prison family day out in Jessup, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I'm talking about they just sit right on it, you know.
Right. That's what I was mentioning because, like, I had went to see a guy in Rahway, and they were having oral sex. This was out in the yard. They were having oral
mm-hmm.
sex. They were just, I mean, and they had a camcorder set up, the guards, but they basically was turning their heads. They knew what was
mm-hmm.
going on, because if I could see it, I know daggone well. They
mm-hmm.
saw kids was out there and everything, but they were still having sex, doing oral. I mean, it was like, hello.
So I just wanted to, you didn't mention that part.
Right, the family day. I
but,
skipped over that. Yes, that is true.
I warned the women when they say, come see me on family day and wear them high heels and that dress, either be prepared or be forewarned.
Mm-hmm. One of my girlfriends told me that her boyfriend had told her not to wear any underwear
mm-hmm.
to the prison. You know, but they just like I said, they can get everything in jail except for their freedom. They can get drugs, money, whatever they want, you know, except for their freedom. They can get it in jail.
Okay, well, I enjoyed the show, so I'm signing off. But
right, I'm getting ready to. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you, Reg.
Bye.
Good night. Okay. Like the show is winding down, and like I was saying, I thank all my listeners for listening. I thank Reggie for calling in. And next week's show, which will be not next week, I'm sorry, my April the 2nd show is going to be about sexual practices that you may never heard of. And my guest co-host will be Penelope Flynn. We'll be discussing such things as snorkeling and teabagging and a host of other different sexual practices you may not have even heard of, which I didn't, some of them I didn't even hear of, but I did hear of teabagging. But, yeah, there's a lot of things going around that's sexual that people are doing, and they have names to them, so we'll be discussing that on my April the 2nd show. So with that being said, wish everybody have a beautiful weekend, a beautiful night, and see you guys back here April the 2nd. Oh, and don't forget, tomorrow night, www.blogtalkradio, we're having a birthday party for Maryam Mimi Jacobs, her 50th birthday party. So please drop in and, you know, wish her well, or just drop in and, you know, we're going to have cyber drinks and food and, you know, we're going to do all this cyber style, but we are going to have a good time tomorrow night. With that being said, everybody have a good night. And always remember, never look down on a man unless you're going to help him up. Good night.
Above the lonely sky. Oh.
Good night, everyone.